Friends, this morning, what I'd like to do is I always want to spend a few moments in one of the Gospels and talk a little bit about a little bit of Christmas chaos. Now, today's message title is Don't Stop Believing. And for many of us, we know a Journey song, right? So I thought about having like a call and response. You know, I would say, don't stop, and you would go, believing, right? We would do that. I was in an 80s rock band, just thought I'd share that. But today's message is don't stop believing. And to begin that, briefly, does anybody remember this movie? Anybody watch this movie yet, right? Now there are all kinds of great things that go on in Christmas Vacation. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. Just thought I'd let you know that. But in the movie, I mean, all that Clark Griswold wants to do, right, is pull off the perfect family Christmas. You know, he's invited everybody to his house. He, you know, the movie starts off, he gets in this road rage incident while they're trying to go find the Christmas tree, and they need to find the perfect Christmas tree, and they go out and trek out in the wilderness and chop down this thing and throw it on their car and all those things. But he's on this quest to fulfill this perfect Christmas for his family, and I'm give spoiler alert if you have not seen the movie, is he has a gift that he wants to give his family, and it is a brand new pool that he wants to put in the backyard so his family can enjoy it. And at the heart of all this is pure motives. He has pure motives that he wants to pull off all these things and do all these things. Now, I think that the funniest parts of this movie it's funny to us because we can relate to it. Because we all have an awkward family member, right, that shows up to family gatherings that we really are like, man, do they really have to come this year? And if you don't know who that is in your family, it may be you, right? Yeah, just sharing. In love. But there's all this chaos that goes on in the midst of this family gathering. And there's in-laws and different things. And there's all kinds of chaos. But each one of us have experienced some sort of family chaos at some sort of family gathering. And this is everyone's experience. This is what we all go through. And this is kind of the Christmas season. Now, the other thing about the Christmas season is this, is for some of us, it could be a reminder of some things that are a little bit painful. Sometimes they're a reminder of family members who are no longer present. Or they're reminders of family relationships that are no longer present, that there are broken things and there's sickness, there's death, there's divorce, there's unemployment. And these things go on because life is messy. And the holidays, I think, especially Christmas and Thanksgiving, remind us somewhat of that brokenness and remind us a little bit of that messiness. Now, our dilemma is this. Is that whenever we look at our Christmas cards, there are no Christmas cards that talk about the chaos of Christmas, right? I mean, there probably are in reputable stores, right? But most of the Christmas cards we send to one another have these pristine images of Christmas. I mean, no one, right? No one sends a Christmas card that has a dirty baby Jesus on it. You know, no one sends a Christmas card with Joseph and Mary looking like they are exhausted, that they're trying to figure out how they travel and deliver this baby. No one sends Christmas cards like that. And so we've got kind of some things that go on in our lives that tell us that it's perfect and it's all pretty and it's wrapped in a bow and it looks really awesome. And it does sometimes because that's what we put on our Christmas cards. I don't send bad Christmas cards, right? We send the pretty things. But Christmas is one of those times that we realize that life can be messy. But God works in the midst of messy. That's why we don't need to stop believing, right? I mean, that's why we continue to go after this. In that first Christmas, those first things that Mary and Joseph experienced were chaos. You know, they lived on the run up until Jesus was 2 years old. I mean, they were refugees in Egypt, running away from Herod and this genocide that was taking place. So it was messy. It wasn't perfect. And I think Christmas is God's reminder that even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of chaos, that God is still present. He still wants to bring us peace, joy, purpose, hope. And he wants to do those things in our lives. And I think that that is a message that our world needs now. When Jesus arrives and when Mary gets this announcement, the angel shows up and it says this. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. And his name was Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. And upon entering, Gabriel greeted her, and he says this. Maybe he says this. He says, good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you. And he goes on. He says this. He says, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you, and it's going to be a great surprise. And I'm sure Mary's like, wait a second, what is this? You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. And Mary, right now, I'm just wondering, okay, what part of don't fear am I supposed to embrace, right? I mean, do you know, angel, that I have no husband? Do you know, angel, I've got to explain this to my parents who may or may not believe me. Do you know, angel, that I am going to be a different person in my village? So this is good news? This is the good news that you want to bring me. And so Mary, of course, is visibly shaken. Who wouldn't be visibly shaken? You know, she probably had some plans. She probably had some hopes and dreams. And yet God shows up in the midst of her hopes and dreams and her wishes and asks her to do something. And so I'm sure she is visibly shaken, wondering what in the world is behind this kind of greeting. What is behind all this? And the angel goes on, and the angel says this, he will be great. The Son of the Highest, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. This baby that is going to be born, this baby is going to do miraculous things. And it's easy for you and I, especially because we live in a messy world, but it's easy for us sometimes in this Christmas season to forget how messy it was. It's easy to forget the weight of the time because we've read the story over and over. The biggest challenge, honestly, for pastors this time of year is you know the story. You could tell it. You could probably tell it better than I could, right? Next year, someone else needs to speak. But we know the story and we've read it and we skip on. And we just kind of move through it. We don't think about all the implications, all of the things that came about. But we need to see the story from Mary's context. We need to see the story from what was going on with her. Because miracles happen in the midst of our mess. So if you've ever gone through a Christmas mess, don't raise your hand. Or maybe you're going through a Christmas mess. Or maybe this time of year brings about some heartache. Guess what? Mary can relate to you. She can identify with you because she understands the mess. She understands the chaos of the time. But in these times, this is when God does great things. And even in the midst of this, God comes and he shows up to Mary and to Joseph. And he shows up and wants to do some miraculous things in their lives. You know, for many of us, we prayed to receive Jesus. But here's the thing. Jesus wasn't somewhere off in a distance. Jesus was there. When you came to faith, Jesus was always there. It's not like he was off running around doing something else. Jesus was there. He was already present in your life, knocking on your door and wanting to be invited into your world. God's favor isn't one of those things that we earn. God's favor doesn't just show up whenever we become good people, right? I mean, God's favor is always present. It doesn't matter whether you're doing everything wrong. It doesn't matter whether you've been naughty or nice. Kids, it does matter for you, right? But it doesn't matter if you've been naughty or nice. You're still loved, right? You are still unconditionally loved. For those of you who are parents and grandparents, you completely get this, right? I mean, I love my children unconditionally, regardless of what they do. Now, you still need to get good grades, right? Right? But regardless of whether they get great grades, regardless of whether they go to the greatest college, regardless of what they do in their life, regardless, I am going to love them unconditionally, no matter what they do, because they are my kids. Even if they mess life up, even if they mess things up, I'm still going to love them because they are my kids. And God highly favors you because you are one of his kids. And so I need you to say something out loud, right? Okay, we did this last week. If you're here today and you're like, I don't like church, and this is probably why I don't like church, hey, just pretend like you're saying something, and we'll all think you're saying something, okay? But here's what, this is important. We got to get this. What I need you to say is this, is I need you to say, I'm highly favored. Can you do that with me? So we're going to count to three, and let's all say, I'm highly favored. One, two, three. I'm highly favored. No matter what our life is in, no matter what kind of mess it's in, God shows up even in the middle of all kinds of things. God shows up in Mary's situation and does miraculous things. And her question is this, well, how can this be? I mean, come on, angel, how can this be? You know my situation. You know my life. And imagine Mary's emotions as she finds these things out. But God's blessing would follow Mary and be with Mary. Little did she know what would happen at the cross, because she had no idea. She thought her life was messy now. It was going to get even messier into adulthood. And along the way, we have these times where we think that God does not favor us. And we go through difficult situations, and life is messy, and we experience something like Christmas vacation, but it's not nearly as funny because it's our life, right? And we wonder if God is for us. And even in the midst of those things, God is for us. Now, here's my last little bit of this. God uses Mary, and I'm convinced that this woman probably had an amazing background that we don't know hardly anything about. But he uses her, and I'm convinced that one of the reasons he uses her is her answer to what happens. And she says this. She said, she doesn't say that. We're going to move on. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I want to be used. I want to do something that you want me to do. God, I can be used even in the midst of this mess, even in the midst of a Christmas mess, even in the midst of these things that seem to not go the way I would like them to go. And I want to be used by you. Friends, what the world needs now more than anything else is for you and I to say things like Mary and say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Because there are people that we experience life with who are going through the same messes we do. Your situation is not any more unique than anybody else's situation. I've been pastoring for a long time, and here's what I've learned over the years, is nobody's situation is unique. We're all unique people. But nobody's situation is unique. There are other people who go through things. There are other people who experience things. And I'm convinced that what the world needs now is for people like you and people like me to sit down face to face with one another, look each other in the eye, and say, you know what? I hear you. I see you. I'm present. And in those ways, God can use us to bring about the miraculous. Would you pray with me? God, we come before you. And God, we give you ourselves. Because God, even in the midst of messes, even in the midst of times where it doesn't look like everything is working out, you are present. So God, we ask that you would use us and you would work miracles in us and use us to sit down face to face with others and meet them where they're at. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.